told Daniel that if he prayed, he would go into the lion's den. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I don't know if you've heard, but there is a movement that is beginning on Friday night, September 1st. It's called Take a Knee with Coach Joe Kennedy. If you remember, Joe Kennedy was the man, the football coach in Washington State, who prayed at the football game and prayed with his team and didn't force anybody to do it, but he prayed and he took a knee on the 50-yard line after a game to pray and give thanks. Well, the school told him to quit doing it, and he said, "No, I'm not going to quit doing it," and they fired him for it. Well, he sued them because he said, "I have freedom of speech and I have religious liberty under the Constitution of the United States of America." And in 2022, the Supreme Court ruled in his favor, 6-3, that he could do this, that he had the freedom of speech granted through the Constitution and he has religious freedom. And the Supreme Court forced his school district to pay him back almost $2 million in legal fees and back pay and reinstate him. And so Friday, September 1st, is Take a Knee Friday for Christians to stand up and be bold in our relationship with Jesus and to say, hey, we have the right under the Constitution to pray and to pray publicly and to be bold for Jesus Christ. And so I have with me in the studio today my good friend, Coach Josh Gibson. Josh is the head coach and athletic director at Pleasant Grove Independent School District, Pleasant Grove Hawks in Texarkana, Texas. And Josh has been here 10 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Coach, 10 years. And has won 2 state championships. 2017 was your first one, undefeated season. And then 2019, you guys lost 1 game in 2019?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then it was, then you were you in state 3 years in a row?
Yes, sir. In 18, in the middle, we went back and we lost that one because of a University of Texas football player kind of took over the game.
Yeah, Jordan Whittington is a freak of nature. And, you know, other than that guy, we would have had 3 in a row. But Josh, you've done a tremendous job. And you're a lot like Joe Kennedy. You're going to pray with your team. You're going to lead your team to have opportunities to know the Lord and to study the Word of God. You don't force anybody to do that, but you really see your position as football coach. It's more than that, isn't it?
Yes, and I mean, that's what we're called to do. And those state championships, we tell our kids all the time that those things, those aren't going to change your life. Those are great moments we get to share together in a journey. But if we end up 3 games short of that, the thing that's going to last is a relationship with the Lord, and they know that. And the things that are going to last is the culture in which we try to create at our school, where kids love each other, they serve, they have an unbelievable work ethic, they're other-centered, and those things last, and the wins don't. And so we talk about that all the time, and we have some really good coaches on our staff that are great ministers and also just great men that share their stories in an authentic way to try to capture these kids' hearts.
Well, you've made a huge difference in the lives of players and the lives of really the community. And Josh, I remember when you came, Todd Williams was the superintendent, and he and I used to play golf together a lot, and Dr. Todd, and he's told me on numerous occasions, he said, you know, hiring Josh Gibson was the best move I ever made in all my years at Pleasant Grove Independent School District. And so I know you have a special relationship with him because he brought you here.
Yes, and Dr. Williams, what comes out in that to me was that one of the best blessings in my life was the opportunity to come here, because it's transformed me. And you know, I kind of feel bad for those kids that I had the first couple of years, and then I look and I go, man, even 5 years ago, just the growth that I've had as a person and our staff's had, you know, I wish those kids would have had that same experience. But I think the kids know during that whole journey, we've always gone as hard as we could for them and tried to be the best versions of ourselves. It's just, Ty took a chance on a really young, ignorant guy that brought some juice and energy and probably a humble enough spirit to know that I need to keep growing to be better for him in this community.
Okay, so when he hired you, Josh, you had never been a head coach, right? You'd been an assistant with your dad?
Yep. And I think the thing was I was confident, though, because my dad was a head coach pretty much my whole life growing up. My stepdad was an athletic director at a Division I school and been at several. And my brother-in-law was coaching with the Cowboys when he entered our family. So I had three really good mentors. And then all the coaches that they worked for, I became a coach watcher and pretty much studied them my whole life on these things work and these things don't, do this, don't do that type deal.
So let me ask you this, just from a coaching perspective. What does a 2023 Josh Gibson know that a 2013, 2014 Josh Gibson didn't know?
Oh, wow. A whole bunch of stuff that I think a young coach that comes in probably worried a little bit more about pride and being able to deliver to the community success, the worldly success. I think that I wasn't hung up on that, you know, like in a full tilt manner, but it was on my mind where the older you get, I think there's a peace that comes through. And I think that's part of my spiritual growth is understanding that I'm going to give these kids my best every single day. And I don't answer to the community, so to speak. And so I answer to these kids. I answer to the Lord. I answer to our coaches. And that's who I'm serving. And ultimately, I'm serving our community, too, because I'm taking care of some of the most precious possessions are their children. And I want to do great for them. But I have I guess I have more of a peace of mind now than I did in 13.
Yeah, that's very good. I've experienced that too as a pastor that, you know, as you get older, you're not trying to prove yourself. And that's not, I think that's a normal thing for young guys. Hey, I want to make my mark. I want to prove myself. And, you know, that can be, it can be good. It can be bad. If it's too much ambition that's just about you, that's not a good thing. But I think once we get older, we realize, hey, being faithful to the Lord, doing a good job. John Wooden used to say, it's not about the wins and losses. It's about doing your best. And you know, you can't be the best necessarily. You played Quiro. Well, they had a player that was far better than anybody you had on your team. And you just have to tip your hat and say, okay, we got beat. I mean, that guy's just great.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, we both know that, and we've talked about this with our kids, man, the Lord doesn't care who wins the state championship. And there's a lot of coaches out there that never get the one that do even better job cultivating the right type of relationships with their kids. And they're more gifted than we are. Like, it just doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. And excuse me. All that stuff will be forgotten. And a lot of these successful coaches, we could name out stadiums, and a lot of us have never heard of any of those guys.
Right.
But the thing that lasts is being able to, you know, see a kid's heart change, them accept the Lord, and you change their life for eternity. You change the way that they interact with other people, and it helps them become great, great servant leaders in the community later on. People that you want to employ because they're other-centered, they work hard, they get after it, people that understand commitment. And we talked about that before weights today, how more than 50% of marriages end in divorce, and it's because people quit putting their best foot forward, or they're not humble enough to say, I can do better for you, and I'm going to do that. And so, you know, all of those lessons, those are the things that last, and the wins don't, and the championships don't either.
Well, a good example is, okay, this Sunday, or this past Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana, Eric Allen, I did premarital counseling for Eric and Morgan Norfleet, his now Morgan Allen, and football player. He's military, special forces, real nice guy, but big, strong. You know, he can put on the mean face if he needs to. Well, you see him getting baptized because he recently understood that he was a sinner and needed a Savior. Although he's a good guy, he really gave his heart to Christ just recently. He was baptized at our church. Well, you come to church. You don't know anything about that. All of a sudden, you see him in the water. You coach that guy.
Yeah, and what an awesome moment to look up on the screen and see Eric Allen getting baptized. I coached him 13 years ago. In Frisco, Texas, at Frisco High School, and I don't think that he came from a family of believers, and so the Lord put Morgan in his path and probably a lot of other people. And here he is at the age of 32, 33. And that experience is happening. And I'm tugging on my son and my wife. And I'm like, that's Eric. That's the guy I used to coach. And so come to the baptistry, give him a hug and get to celebrate that with him. Yeah. But what a awesome, you know, accomplishment for the Lord, for this church, for him. And it was a great day.
Yeah, that was so cool. And that you had posted that picture on Facebook of you and him. He looks huge.
He looks huge compared to me, and he is a big dude. He was definitely a Tim Tebow on the field. I told Pastor Shreve he could run through anybody, and that's probably why he's in the special forces now. But it's really neat to see that that he accepted the Lord as his Savior, and is just his humble spirit too, because that came through in the baptistry for a guy that's a next level, you know, type of Navy SEAL type guy with tender heart in there too. It's pretty sweet.
Okay, so Josh, when you came here, Todd Williams is superintendent. He's the one that hired you. Todd's an outspoken Christian. And so did you guys have discussions about how you would lead and how your faith would play into your coaching?
You know, not in detail. I told him my why, and that came through in the interview. And then there wasn't a lot of follow-up conversations on how I would or wouldn't be allowed to do things. What I saw was that he was a man of God, and he was going to lead that way. And that became evident in the first school board meeting when they approved me. He stopped the meeting and stood up and prayed for me and my wife. And you know, that made me feel so good. It made me feel like we chose the right place and the right place chose us. Uh-huh. And I told Jennifer and Jackson and Jordan when we were going home back to Frisco that night, because they still had to finish out a week of school. I said, that would have never happened in Frisco. Yeah. And this place is awesome. It's going to be awesome. And so from there, I go to superintendent's house and have a burger with them, and we're praying before the meals. And I just knew that he's the type of person I want to work for, and he's going to give me the latitude to do what we're supposed to do. And so there was comfort in the leader letting us do what we're called to do. And so that was pretty cool.
Well, so Josh, you pray with the team, and you do a lot of the things that Joe Kennedy was fired for. Do you have concerns about that?
You know, I used to when I was younger. In 2005, I shared with you in Frisco, we had a coach's convocation. So there's 10 high schools there now. I think there were four at the time, and a lot of middle
schools. 6A schools. These are big schools.
Big schools. And so there's 380 coaches at coaches' convocation. And we were told by our athletic director that a directive came down that we're no longer to pray at games. And we knew he was the messenger. He was heavily involved in FCA, gave a lot of monetary support to FCA. But we weren't supposed to pray in the locker room, even behind closed doors with our kids. And so I'm 23, 24 at the time, and I'm kind of going, man, this is tough. My dad was the head coach at Frisco at the time, and he'd been at a Baptist university for 13 years before that at Howard Payne, and he prayed for 30 years with his teams. And I thought, yeah, he's a rule follower, he's a company man, he's probably not going to cross this line. And 2 weeks later, we're at our first game, and we're praying before the game in the locker room. And he continued to do that for the next 12 years. He was there 13 years. And this was year two. And what I found out, and I thought, understanding from my dad, is that the kids weren't going to turn on him because he loved them so much. They might not agree with what he was doing, but nobody ever turned him in, and he was allowed to continue to pray with the team.
Yeah, amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Coach Josh Gibson, the coach of the Pleasant Grove Hawks here in Texarkana, Texas. And Josh has had great success here in Texarkana, won two state championships, finished second in 2018, and well loved here in Texarkana, and uses his platform as coach and athletic director to lift up the name of Jesus. He's not ashamed of Jesus, and he's not ashamed to let his players know that he loves the Lord. So we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away. Yeah. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. So the First Freedom Challenge is an awareness campaign designed by First Liberty to educate Americans, thanks to recent Supreme Court decisions, of their new rights and to encourage them to use these rights to help restore faith in America. This has to do with Coach Joe Kennedy. He was fired for praying on the football field and praying with his team. In 2015, he lost his job. Well, he sued the school there in Washington State, and he was reinstated. The Supreme Court said, hey, you can't do that, and he was paid almost $2 million in back pay, and he's the coach now again at Bremerton High School. And so Friday, September 1st, there is a big day for us to stand together in the Christian community and say, hey, we support Coach Kennedy. We support our right to pray. And you can find out more. Here's the website. It's rfia.org/partner. rf.a/org.partner, and you can partner in this campaign to make a difference on Friday, September 1st, and stand up for the Lord and say, hey, we have the right in America to freedom of speech and to religious liberty, and we don't care what the world may say. We're going to stand up for the Lord. Well, my guest is Coach Josh Gibson, the head coach of the Pleasant Grove Hawks in Texarkana, Texas, and we're talking about how he conducts his team and how the Lord has blessed. And Josh, you have a fiery personality, and people love that about you. And you're bold in your faith. And so let me just ask you, have you, throughout the years, have you gotten any pushback from players or parents that say, hey, you need to tone it down?
You know, not since I've been at Pleasant Grove, and I feel like that day's obviously going to come at some point. And just reacting to it, I've kind of tried to play it out in my head, and I just don't know how that's going to go until it happens. But right now, we've been blessed because I think we have a school board and a superintendent who understands the power of what we're doing, and they want that for their kids, right, which is awesome.
Well, Texarkana is a great place as far as Christian influence in the schools. You know, you hear horror stories about other schools, and just what you experience in the Metroplex, where, hey, you can't talk about God, and the bathroom situation, which is just insane. We don't have that here. And so I think that parents really have a sense of assurance that, hey, I can send my kid to school at Pleasant Grove or Texas High or one of the schools here, and they're not going to be influenced in that way. Josh, when we talked about seeing one of your players baptized last Sunday, which had to be just a total wow for you, because you didn't have any inkling that that was going to happen. You probably hadn't seen that guy in, what, 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, hadn't seen Eric since he went to college at Texas A&M, and it was a remarkable moment, because it's just like, I know that guy, I love that guy, holy smokes, this is awesome, I'm going to go to the baptistry and connect with him and celebrate this with them.
Yeah, but now you've hired some of your former players, right, guys that you've gotten to impact and influence, and then they're on the team.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that God has really blessed me with, and I think it's come through faithful prayers, that when we have an opening, you know, there's been some awesome stories that I could write a book, how the guy ended up here and how he changed our staff and changed our program. I mean, these are Grand Slam guys, and one of them is one of our co-DCs. They both have an awesome story. One of them's extremely spiritual, lives next to Ross Serene, and they think he's hung the moon. The Serenes are like, this guy's awesome. The other one came from TCU, and he came here, and through Bible studies and lifting with coaches and stuff, accepted the Lord as his Savior, was baptized here, and now he's one of the most involved coaches in our Bible studies with kids. And so other kids may relate to his story a lot more than Coach Taylor's or mine or someone else's, and that's just how God uses, you know, us all in different ways. And Coach Darby grew up, never went to church in California, grew up in San Diego. He said they had a few mega churches, and he wasn't really exposed to it until he came to Texarkana. But his story has helped a lot of kids at our Bible studies, and just given them, I think, a sense of security, knowing, like, I don't have to have a lot of knowledge. I just have to it starts with a change of heart and an acceptance, and we'll go from there and grow stronger after that.
Josh, how would you help a young coach that says, "Hey, I want to have a spiritual impact on my team, but I really don't know how to go about it." What would you tell him? How could he start that?
I think it starts with the coach and staff coming together and growing together. So the first thing I would tell them is, like, get a coach's outreach Bible study going. And so we have 16 male coaches that come in every Thursday morning, and we're pruning and growing ourselves together in a authentic and real way. And we have to be raw and authentic, or we're not going to grow. And so, you know, I think the lay leader has to set the tone for that. And then that growth, now let's go do it with our kids. And so for us, Thursday mornings is the time we prune ourselves and get together. But it's a 4-day study before that with coaches. Monday nights are with the kids after practice, and we're and it doesn't stop. I mean, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, we're praying with our kids, we're praying with our coaches all the time. It's not just a game day deal. But I think where there's an effort, there's going to be growth. And with us, it started off with 4 or 5 coaches, and then it dropped down to 2 or 3. And we didn't have a lot of numbers. And hiring those right guys after some guys left, or we needed to make some changes, and it grows to 16. Mm-hmm. And that's through faith and hiring the right people. So a young coach, like, once there's an opportunity to go get someone, go get the right guy. And my dad always told me, like, hire a good Christian man. That's the first thing you look for. Mm-hmm. And he has energy, and you can teach him football and go from there. And so that's what we tried to do.
How do you, Josh, how do you handle profanity? Because I know that, good night, I heard a clip from Kirby Smart from Georgia, and I was shocked at how foul-mouthed that guy is. I know John Wooden, who's a hero of mine in the coaching ranks, you know, he did not allow profanity in any of his players or coaches. How do you control that at Pleasant Grove?
Yeah, this is probably a pretty cool story, and will also show some of my weaknesses early on. My grandfather passed away at 92 and never said a curse word his whole life, which is pretty awesome. My dad is a guy that I don't know if I've heard him say 3 cuss words. And in first grade, I was already cussing because I grew up at a Division I football practice, and every coach on their staff besides my dad was cursing left and right. So, you know, I'm picking up habits from other men, and, like, boy, getting the belt to my backside when my dad found out, and I just knew I let him down. So long story short, I struggled with that as a young coach, some letting them fly at the right time or getting kids pumped up in a different way. And we have a no cussing policy in our program. Our kids, I don't know if I've heard a single cuss word thrown by our kids this year, and they're not throwing cuss words because all of our coaches, you know, are buying into that. A really good coach texted me last night that he actually was putting a kid up for captain this week because the kid called him out when he slipped and said a cuss word last week. So the kid is holding him accountable, and we want that. We want to express our mistakes to them, but yeah, it's just – we got to be wise and choose our actions the right way. And I think a lot of coaches have messed up in that area. I have in the past, but I think being humble about it and telling the kids it's fine. It's not something we're going to accept. Don't accept it from me if I do it. And that situation went on. But yeah, we have a no cursing policy.
I heard a clip one day from one of the UCLA players that played for Wooden, and he said Coach Wooden never cussed. But he said if he got mad, he would always say the same thing, and it was goodness gracious sakes alive.
Yeah.
He said if you heard him say that, you just knew that you just got cussed out in a Midwestern way from Coach Wooden, because that was the extent of his anger. Goodness gracious sakes alive. I thought, man, I would wish we had that again today with coaches.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Josh, as we were talking off air, a coach has so much influence and so much impact in the life of a young player. My basketball coach, Coach Pache, I just love that guy. He's a dear friend today. And I remember things that he taught me. I wasn't a Christian when I was in high school, didn't become a Christian until I was a senior in high school, but he would talk to us about the Bible. And Coach Pache wasn't a real strong believer, but he was a believer. But just the impact a coach has on a young guy, do you think coaches really understand how much impact they have?
They better. Because right now, one of the best books I read that changed the way that I coach was by Joe Ehrman, A Season of Life. And he was a pro bowler that was raised by an alcoholic dad, was beat on, became a pastor in Baltimore inner city, and then figured out that the way to his view was the way to get this society back on track wasn't through inner city churches, it was through building men, because so many are fatherless. Mm-hmm. And that's why everything's broke, is the role of the father is either not being done the right way or it's just absentee. And I could throw this stat on for you right here. I was Googling the other day when I talked to our dads at DeCals for Dads. Number one most celebrated holiday is Christmas. And this is, and I don't know how accurate this is, but it sounds accurate. Number two is Mother's Day. It said Father's Day dropped to 20. Mm-hmm. Number 20, Halloween 6th. And if you Google the impact of a father, quote, and you look at the images, more than 60% of them are negative. Dad, I did it without you. Thanks, Mom, for doing the role of the father. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, this is disgusting. But this is what our job really is. It's an opportunity to go help be the role of a father, mm-hmm. go help lead young men, and go love them and change their lives. There cannot be that big gap we talked about earlier between a coach and a player. Those kids are going to know I'm going to treat every single one of them like I treat Jackson Gibson, and they can stay at my house. They can come eat. We'll go do rides. I'll take them to college camps. And if I fall short of anything of that, I fall short of fulfilling their needs, because they need dads right now. Mm-hmm. So coaches on our staff, they're going to put in extra time outside of school. And we just offered up at our Bible study on Monday. There's 16 coaches that'll take you to church if you want to go to church. Like, mm-hmm. there's a way, and it's tugging at some kids' hearts, so let's get them involved. But any need that they have, we got to treat them like our own, because they just don't have, there's not a lot of dads out there that are fulfilling those roles, and there's a lot of absentee kiddos that are with single mom.
Well, you know, Josh, when you get into like coaches in the inner city or whatever, where you have a lot of fatherlessness, man, that coach is mm-hmm. huge. And you're dealing with a lot of angry kids. Yep. Now, Pleasant Grove is a little different because of the kind of homes that you have here. But how do you, when you deal with an angry kid, and you know why he's angry, because he's mad, he's hurt, you know, there is no dad in the home, there are difficulties associated with that. How do you as a coach deal with that kind of situation, as opposed to some kid that's just maybe rebellious or entitled or that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'll go back to one of the statements you had. So more than 50% of our team now is economically disadvantaged in football. Our school has changed so much in the last 5 years. But going to that kid that you're talking about, we have one that came over to us whose mom had him when he's 12 years old. She's 12 years old. And the kid has so much anger, and there's so much imbalance in his life. And it's like, you go love that kid. And that's the first thing we do, is just like anything else, we're taught, you go meet them where they're at, mm-hmm. and you try to capture their heart and show them consistency and become a sound voice for them. And eventually there's going to be a breakthrough when they're having bad moments, and you're just like, hey, bud, you cannot do this. And they'll break down and say, coach, I don't know any other way, and I don't know what's wrong with me. And it's like, well, we can talk about this, and we can give you some things that you could do differently. And that usually leads to, why don't you come hang out with us on Monday night at Bible study, or here's the right. things that we talk about after practice in our culture meetings and our heart and soul meetings. And you see kids' hearts changing. And so we've had success with a lot of those kids, but it all starts with love. Mm-hmm. And so that's our two greatest goals this year in the school, is to show love and empathy to other students to change the culture of the school in a positive way. And our kids are knocking the ball out of the park with that, writing letters to janitors, and they're doing all this on their own, pushing kids down the hallway that are in wheelchairs, sitting with other kids at lunch. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're doing it just to check a box. I think they're understanding that the more I love someone, it's going to help change them. It's going to give them a great experience, but you're going to receive a bunch of joy back. And so we celebrated 12 of those after practice yesterday, and we cut practice 20 minutes so we can do that because our staff believes the best person that we can help build, that becomes a better football player, a better friend, a better student, a better, you know, father down the road, and right. all that good stuff. So I do think we spend a ton of time on the culture part.
Yeah, amen. Josh, as you were talking, I was thinking about Coach Mack Brown when he was at UT and they won the national championship. He had one of the greatest statements I've ever heard a coach say in the locker room as they're celebrating. He said, guys, don't let this be the greatest moment in your life. He said, go on and be good husbands and be good fathers and make an impact in your community. And, you know, Mack wasn't just preaching Jesus all the time to his players, but he was shining. You know, we talk about shine a chair. Yeah. He was shining before them and let them know that, just as you said, wins come and go, and the euphoria that you feel, you don't have that 5 years later. I mean, you look back fondly at that, but what matters is what you do afterward, and God does have a plan for us. Well, we're talking to Coach Josh Gibson. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we are talking about being a Christian at your workplace, and Josh's workplace is the football field, and as athletic director and head football coach at Pleasant Grove High School, he is making a difference. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or a comment, and I'll see if I can get Coach Gibson to stay, and you may have a question for him, and we would love to hear from you. And so God is at work. Hey, as we stand up as Christians boldly, proclaiming Christ, shining, sharing, God uses us in a great way. We're on this earth for such a time as this. Let's not squander that opportunity. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my friend Coach Josh Gibson, the head coach of Pleasant Grove School District, Pleasant Grove High School, the Hawks, Pleasant Grove Hawks. And Josh has done a tremendous job in his 10 years here, won two state championships, and came close to winning three straight, a three-peat, Josh. That would have been awesome. And so anyway, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about Coach Joe Kennedy and the campaign on Friday, September 1st, to take a knee and to stand up. We say stand up. I mean, we're taking a knee in prayer, but we're making a statement. We're being bold for the Lord. You know, Joe Kennedy was the one who won the Supreme Court decision in 2022 that says, hey, he has the constitutional right and freedom of speech or freedom of religion and to pray. And they can't take that away. And so they were forced to hire him back with back pay, almost $2 million of pay and pain and suffering and all those other things that go into that, legal fees. And so September 1st, Friday, September 1st is the day for us in the Christian community to take a stand for prayer. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you. Coach Gibson graciously has stayed on, and so I'm here, he's here to take your questions and your comments. I have Dan on the line from Texas. Dan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to tell Coach Gibson that his treatment of the boys is mirrored. Coach Reeves, when he was at Cuero and they won in 2018, his goal with the young men was uncommonly good men do uncommonly good things, and that's the way he trained them. And it was remarkable to watch his group of young athletes after the hurricane came through Cuero, how they rallied and went and helped the entire community. And I just thought Coach Gibson ought to continue to do what he's doing.
Amen. Well, yeah. Thank you, Dan.
And Dan, Travis Reeve is one of the most awesome men that I've been around. His dad and my dad coached together 35, 40 years ago, but he is a great leader of men, and he's making a mighty impact, no doubt.
Now, he's not at Cuero anymore?
He's not. He's actually at El Campo. Just moved schools there this year and had one stop after Cuero and wanted to go back to a one high school town, so made another move to El Campo this year.
Yeah. Where is Cuero?
Cuero is down kind of south Texas, getting closer to south of San Antonio, halfway between San Antonio and Corpus.
Okay. Okay. Well, Dan, thank you for calling in. That's a good word. I appreciate it. Well, we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for today.
What a pleasure it is to talk to two good shepherds today. This is wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
I've just thought about how much laying out the boundaries and the teaching and the rules like y'all do day in, day out for your for those that you have under your care is what God does with us. Is he has the word and the teachings, and also that we're ready to get in the game and fight the fight and shine and share when it's our turn. And so much of what y'all do is just that. And can't commend the coach enough. I always have a high regard for coaches. When I know they're a coach, I always call them coach, whether they've been my coach or not, because that's such a term of affection and respect even more. And I would pray for y'all, and I really admire what both of y'all do for the Lord. And y'all are really getting it done out there. We appreciate it. God bless both of you.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you listening and just calling to encourage us. You know, Josh, it's the old expression, it's lonely at the top, and leadership. I was talking to a guy when I came up, and he was talking about his church, and he was saying, you know, we have a good core of people, but we just don't have good leadership. Leadership makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I think you saying it's lonely at the top is it's one of those things that, you know, you don't experience till you get there. And when I came here, didn't have, like, Dr. Williams, I think he just turned me loose.
Yeah.
And so I'm going, man, I used to go to athletic director meetings and listen to mentors, and then my dad mentored me, and sometimes there's a need, you know. And so I think we try to be open with our assistants, like, they're all sharpening me as much as I'm sharpening them.
Yeah.
So we're not by ourselves, but sometimes it can feel that way.
Right. Well, one of the things that I love about you, Coach Gibson, is you're willing to tackle the uncomfortable things that you have to do if you're going to be a good leader. So I know you had a coaching situation early on, and you had to stand up to kind of a bully coach, and that wasn't a lot of fun, but it had to be done.
Yeah, I think when they hired me here, you know, there were, I guess, and now I go back to that conversation I had with Dr. Williams on how we were going to run our program, and there's certain ways we're going to do it and not. And so there became a point, you know, early on where we had a tough conversation, and it was kind of like, hey, my name's at the top of this. We're going to have to do things this way, or I got to throw my keys on the desk and roll. And when I say that to Dr. Williams, he's like, well, I'm right here with you, buddy. And and so it was so easy to work with him. Because I went and worked for somebody that had the same values that I did.
Right.
And we were a team and going to do stuff together and make those tough decisions together.
Right. Amen. Well, we have Gary on the line from Ohio. Gary, welcome to Real Truth for today. Gary, go ahead.
God-giving talent. Okay. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm 900 months old. And our knowledge is accumulated through what God gives us. And so if we keep the biblical terminology for our kids in athletics, it's going to show on the field.
Yes. Very good. Yeah, we have to keep the main thing the main thing. And Josh, as you said, you love the kids. You model, you know, this is what it means to be responsible. This is what it means to be hardworking. You know, you have a good program. You have to have the nuts and bolts of football to win. They have to know how to block and tackle. They can be the nicest guys on the planet. If they can't block and tackle, you're not winning.
Right.
And if you got a bunch of guys that run a 6.5 40, you're probably not going to win. I mean, you have to have, just in anything, I tell this to Quinn Stanfill all the time, our worship pastor, you know, to have a good music program, well, you have to have some people that can play and sing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have anybody that can carry a tune in a bucket, it's probably not going to be very good. And so you have, you know, you develop the athletes. One of the things that that we noticed early on when you came here, you started with the younger kids, mm-hmm. and we're going to develop a culture. Talk a little bit about that. How does a young guy coming into a new school, how does he develop a winning culture?
Yeah, I think it starts with our four core values. You have to have a vision, and you have to know where you're going. And so ours starts with relationships, and we're going to pour a ton of time into the people that we're associated with in our community. We're going to serve a ton. We're going to serve our kids. We're going to spend time with them. We're going to love them like they're our own. And then growth is a big deal for us. So growth is our second core value. We're going to grow them as students. We're going to grow them on the field. We're going to grow them in the community. And then we're going to give them spiritual opportunities to grow too. And then I think it goes and plays into the third one, which is belief. When we're doing things different than other people, we've had groups that come to us that won one game in middle school, but we're going four rounds deep later because they believe we do things right, and they believe in you reap what you sow. And so we may be an average football player or average team, you know, individually, but collectively, the way that we do things with our culture, that belief is off the charts. And I think our kids feel like they could go line up against Notre Dame and go win a football game.
Yeah.
And we might not. But I think the belief is huge. And then the fourth one is we do it through a disciplined environment. You know, without accountability, that it's not, you're not going to be able to foster that growth that we were talking about earlier. But it's always done in love. And so the four work hand in hand together. The more you love a kid, the more they're going to let them discipline you, the more they're going to want to buy in and believe in you. Mm-hmm. And so we just stay true to those four core values, and then we tweak our weaknesses and try to grow ourselves from there.
Well, I think that mindset, that winning mindset, and I noticed this when we first moved here, it seemed like at PG, the players didn't believe they could win. And so they'd come right up to it, and then you'd lose. It's like the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost that once that gets kind of inbred into the organization, it's hard to shake that.
Yeah, and I think you have to give yourself a reason to believe. You can't just say, hey, we're going to go win. But here's a concrete example. We had 24 kids, they said, working out in strength and conditioning in the summers. And, well, there's 300 kids in the athletic program. So now we're up to 275 out of 300,
mm-hmm.
and the kids have something to believe in. We have kids that never miss a day of that stuff. And so they're working their tails off, and now they're working harder than people. So you're going to reap what you sow. We're going to believe we're going to go do better. And that's just one example. I mean, you could throw out about 50 of those, but the same with our teachers in the classroom. I mean, you go in there, you sit on the front row, you engage them, you're good to them, you're involved. You're going to have a better experience in there, and the culture of the school is going to change, and that's been happening. So there are a lot of different areas to sharpen ourselves in and try to look at all of them, and you just spin in a bunch of different tops, and we're going to fail some, but let's go back to it and get it fixed and do better and grow from there.
Amen. We have Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, and it's a real thrill to hear how you gentlemen are impacting young lives. But I'm going to take it in a little different direction.
Okay.
Pastor Jeff, and I know Coach, you guys both love sports.
Mm-hmm.
But Pastor Jeff, I know you got a wife that's probably not so inclined to love sports as you do. How do you balance your love of sports and the time that you spend engaging in them with perhaps your wife's adverse reaction to you spending so much time in the sports world?
Yeah, so Debbie is not a big sports person, and we had all girls, and they weren't into sports, and it wasn't a big deal for me. When it comes to football, it was the Texas Longhorns. And Coach Gibson, I have found that my my weekend is a lot better if I don't watch the Texas Longhorns play because it's frustrating. Who do you follow college football?
It's tough. Right now, I try to follow where our kids are playing that have gone on to the next level and try to go and watch different bits of them. And that's who I root for, you know, are our kids. And so I'm a big Arkansas fan because of Landon Jackson and watch a lot of those games. And in Oklahoma State, we have two kids. Harding, we have four kids. And just keep up with all of those guys is a chore.
Yeah.
And it's a fun one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so when you have a player playing, is it a different experience to watch the game?
Oh, it's awesome. It's like watching your son play out there. And there's so much joy in it. And whether they're doing good or bad, they're at a level where they're competing and investing a ton, and it's pretty special.
Yeah. You know, I heard I had a friend of mine that played college sports, and I was asking him the difference between college and high school, and he said nothing takes the place of high school. Because in college, he said, you're not really doing life with those guys like you did in high school. I mean, they were your buddies and the guys you hung out with. College, it's more, you know, it's just not the same. And then pros, it's just a job.
Well, the culture's really been destroyed in college football right now because of NIL and putting kids in a hierarchy where you're more important than this person and this person and this person. And I think everybody in NIL should get paid the same if they're going to get paid. So now we can get back to building a culture and focus on everybody in our team is just as important, whether you're a starter or a backup. So that got destroyed in NIL. I'll answer the question real quick about balance. For me, I get to do something that I love and get to go be around awesome men every day and kids. And so my wife, Jennifer, I went through a divorce with my mom and dad because my dad was a workaholic. He was youngest head high school football coach in Texas, then became the youngest Division I offensive coordinator in the nation at the time when he was coaching, and he worked all day. And so I didn't want to go through that as a man when I got older because I lost my dad in fourth grade. So Jennifer gets all my extra time. I don't golf. I don't fish. I do football. I do PG. And that takes a ton of time. And then I spend everything else with Jennifer. And so I get the best of every
right.
You know, of everything because I get to do something I love and then I get to spend time with somebody I love afterwards.
Well, okay, so your son Jackson is a senior this year. He plays on the football team, so mom is going to be there for every game cheering on. Does she like football?
She really does love football. I think she loves the relational part of it. I think there are times where maybe she doesn't want to go to some sporting events because she's ready to get a breather. And I love going to everything because I just like going seeing kids and people in our community. Yeah. And PG is our family. And she loves that too. So, yeah, she loves sports. But I think she also loves getting breaks away from it and just having family time too.
Yes. Well, Coach Gibson, thank you for being my guest today. And this is a fascinating talk. And I appreciate you. Appreciate your stand for the Lord. Appreciate the difference that you're making in the lives of so many players, students, and parents because God's really given you a great platform. Well, thank you, Obi, for calling in. And Robin, sorry we didn't get to your call. This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow as we talk to BJ Ford. He has a tremendous testimony. You're not going to want to miss it. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.